Acts 22, and we're going to be reading verses 25 through 28 this morning. Acts 22, verses 25 through 28. So find that scripture. We'll be reading responsively. If you would please join me on the even-numbered verses 26 and 28, and I will read for us verses 25 and 27. So that's Acts 22, 25 through 28. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word today. We'll begin reading in verse number 25, Acts 22, picking up the story here of Paul on one of his return visits to the city of Jerusalem. And our Bible says, "And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn." Thank you, dear Father, for our country. Thank you for the freedom we enjoy. Thank you for the price that has been paid to secure that freedom. We thank you, Lord, not only for physical freedom, we thank you for spiritual freedom from sin this morning because of the price your Son Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary. I rejoice in all those prices this morning that have been paid. Rejoice in our freedom. May you please speak to our hearts through this Bible text. Lord, may we give our hearts to you the next several minutes. We'll be careful to thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Finished, but battle is over.
Wonderful song. Very good. I want to speak to you on the topic today, the sum of freedom. You see that statement there in verse number 28, not the exact statement, but a paraphrase. And the chief captain answered with a great sum obtained I this freedom. You see that? I want to speak to you this Memorial Day weekend on the subject, the sum of freedom, reminding you every passage in the Bible is recorded for our good. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's the breath of God, and is profitable. Nothing in this book that is there just to take up space. And so we want to learn a little bit from this text this morning of what was happening and what these men were talking about here in their conversation when the chief captain of the Roman army said to Paul, with great sum obtained I this freedom. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, for our freedoms. And we already have thanked you this morning for that. Our minds have been on that these days, and will continue to be on that through the next several days because of this Memorial Day weekend. Help me, O God, to preach your word this morning in truth. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to each of us. May he have liberty in this service this morning. We need him. We need to hear more than a sermon. We need a message. Our hearts need something from heaven today. Only you can deliver that, oh God. I pray that you'll do that through the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me bring you up to date on the setting of this text. Paul had finished his third missionary journey. He had gone to Jerusalem to be there for a certain feast day. His going to the temple had created an uproar. Wherever Paul went, there was either riot or revival. One of the two. And in this case, they were having a riot. The Jews were mobbing Paul. Now, what I'm describing to you is found in Acts 21 and 22 over a spread of two chapters here. The Jews were mobbing Paul with the intention of killing him. The Roman chief captain heard that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. That's back in chapter 21. And so he quickly ran with his soldiers and centurions to help restore order. Now, the Romans, understand, the Romans were the ruling power. Okay? They were the government in charge. The Jews were subject to the Romans, civil laws. So even though the Jews had their religious laws, they couldn't just take everything into their own hands. They were under the Roman rule. Okay, so the civil laws of the Roman government. So here they were about to kill Paul. The chief captain of the Roman army secured Paul in his company, got him away from the angry mob. They were leading him away to safety when Paul said, "Sir, could I please speak to this angry mob?" And the chief captain said, "Well, if you want to." So they were on a staircase, kind of like going up this staircase over here on the side of the auditorium to the balcony. People down on the bottom floor in an angry mob. Paul got their attention, and he began to speak to them in the Hebrew tongue. Now, one of the problems was they thought he was an Egyptian. The Romans thought that, and the Jews didn't know. The Jews didn't know this man. Paul had been gone on a missionary journey. Okay? So they didn't know who he was. And when he began to speak to them in the Hebrew language, well, they all paid attention. And they started to listen, okay? He testified about his calling to the Gentiles. Look at verse number 21. And he said, and he's talking about God's call on his life. Chapter 2, verse 21. And he's referring to God. God said unto Paul, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Now, look over here. And they gave him audience unto this word. What word? The word Gentiles. But he's inside a Jewish synagogue. He's inside the temple, I believe. And he's addressing a Jewish mob. And they listened to him as he spoke in the Hebrew language until he mentioned the word Gentiles. Okay? And then when they gave audience unto him, unto this word, and then lifted up their voices, and they said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." And as they cried out and cast off their clothes into the air, you see, they took off their coats. You know, throw their coats in, and threw dust into the air. They're wild. They're carrying on like crazy. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. So the captain said, "Man, surely this man's done something wrong." He said, "We're going to investigate this. The way we're going to investigate this to get to the bottom, we're not going to waste any time. He's going to be scourged." Now you understand what that meant, right? That meant getting whipped with a whip 39 times. So the chief captain says, "We're going in here and we're going to take care of business. We're going to find out what's going on with this man, why this place is in such an uproar, what he's done. We're going to find out what crime he is guilty of." All right? So that's what's happening. Then verse 25, they bound him with thongs. So they handcuffed him. They put him under arrest. And Paul said unto the centurion that stood by as he was being bound, put in handcuffs, Paul said, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man?" You're going to whip a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Paul said, "Is that law?" Well, when the centurion heard that, when he heard Paul say that, he went and told the chief captain, said, "Man, you better be careful what you do. This man is a Roman. This man's a citizen of Rome." So the chief captain came and he said to the apostle Paul, "Tell me, sir, truly, are you really a Roman?" And Paul said, "Yes, I am." And the chief captain answered, "With great sum obtained I this freedom." But Paul said, "I was freeborn." You see, being a Roman citizen gave Paul tremendous privileges in the Roman government. One of those privileges was the principle of innocent until proven guilty. Same is true in our country today. A Roman citizen was entitled by law to this protection. Listen, folks, it was a crime to bind, to arrest an innocent Roman citizen. It was an unpardonable crime to beat him. You see, what the chief captain was about to do to Paul could cost him and his soldiers their commission. That's why the centurion went to him and said, "Hey, do you understand? You're about to whip a Roman citizen who's not stood trial." That shook the chief captain up. The truth of the matter is, the chief captain did not believe Paul was a Roman citizen. Back in chapter 21, the chief captain thought he was an Egyptian, listen to this, who secured the release of 4,000 prisoners and murderers and led them out into a wilderness to organize them into an army. That's who the chief captain thought Paul was. He said, "You're that guy that you secured the release of those 4,000 murderers out of prison and you took them out in the wilderness to make them into an army. Aren't you that guy?" And Paul said, "No. No, not at all." He said, "I was born in Tarsus. I'm a Jew of Tarsus." And then Paul revealed that he was a Roman citizen. And when he did that, it shocked and scared the chief captain to death. The truth of the matter was, folks, listen carefully. The chief captain was not born a Roman citizen. You understand that? That's what he meant when he said in verse number 28, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." He had purchased his citizenship and all the rights and privileges that go along with being a Roman citizen. The chief captain of the Roman army had purchased his citizenship. But Paul was born a Roman citizen, a Jew in the city of Tarsus. I don't have time to go into that study this morning, but there's a study behind that. So this chief captain told Paul, he said, "Paul, it cost me dearly to obtain my citizenship." And Paul said, "You know what? I was free born." Meaning Paul said, "It didn't cost me a dime financially. I was born a Roman citizen." Now friend, the truth is, whether you are born a citizen in a free land or whether you purchase your citizenship coming from another country, the sum of freedom is costly. The sum of freedom, the cost of freedom is one that is of great price. And I am speaking this morning to a room full of free-born American citizens. There are scattered across the room this morning. There are a few folk who have moved here from distant lands and obtained citizenship. Upstairs in our Spanish department, there are folks up there who came here from Latin American countries, and some of them have their resident visa. Others of them, like Brother Jorge, he has his resident visa, and he's going through the paperwork of becoming an American citizen, getting his citizenship. It'll be a great day. He feels it'll be a great day for him when he becomes an American citizen. I had the privilege at the awards banquet on Thursday night for the high school. I had the privilege of sitting with Brother Jorge Vargas. Brother Vargas is the one that built this pulpit. And Brother Julio Vargas. And we get to talking. He's the one that walked in the church that night, Friday night of Vacation Bible School, 2004. Walked in and said, I need to speak to the Spanish pastor somewhere. And boy, just the conviction of sin on him. Julio got saved. His wife got saved. His kids got saved. His kids are in the school now. And Miguel in high school, in junior high. And I had the great privilege of sitting with Julio. And I asked him, I said, Julio, are you a citizen? He said, yes. He said, I'm a citizen. I've been through all the paperwork, and I have my citizenship. Now, I'm talking this morning to a room full of folks who are either you're born into freedom because you're born American citizen, or maybe you've obtained citizenship or in the process of it. Maybe you're neither. Maybe you're here on resident visas. But most of us today, we're free-born American citizens. As American citizens, we are given certain inalienable rights. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all my heart they are under attack as they have never been before. There is much going on today in our country that is absolutely unconstitutional according to our own documents. Unconstitutional. I understand. I mean, there, as I said some services ago, there's an ill wind blowing. This hate crimes thing in Congress is an ill wind blowing. There's an ill wind blowing in our nation. But anyway, I'm not here to address all of those attacks this morning. That's another thing. But I am telling, I'm not looking ahead this morning as much as I am looking back for a few minutes here. We are all freeborn. But I want to remind us today, I want to take this opportunity to remind us that this freedom was purchased at great sum. At great cost. Freedom is expensive. Horribly expensive. You see, there's always a tyrant. There's always a dictator. There are always ruthless men and governments who, if they could, would bring every living person, every sovereign nation, if they could have their will and way, they would bring every sovereign nation under their dominion. Always has been that way. Always will be that way. That screwball over in Iran is like that. And he's had his predecessors. Not just in Iran, but you think of the Hitlers, you think of the Mussolinis, you think of the Tojos from World War II, Germany and Italy and Japan. You think of other men who no doubt if they could have exercised their will, they would have brought the entire world under. I think Muammar Gaddafi would have done that. I believe Fidel Castro would have done that if he could have. But these tyrants, these ruthless dictators have always been prevented from having their will and way over the known world. They tried to assume that leadership, but instead, for the most part, not everywhere, but for the most part, freedom has ruled the day. And I'm going to tell you something. It didn't come without great cost. And you know that this morning, don't you? You're aware of that. It came at horrible expense. It came at unbelievable cost. Our nation right now is currently involved in a very unpopular war in Iraq. And I'm not going to turn this into a political platform this morning. I'm not going to turn this into a history lesson, although I do want to say a few things. And no doubt, unless something big changes, this war in Iraq and Afghanistan is going to dominate the presidential election, which started a full year ahead of schedule this year. All this campaigning, it's just making me sick. I know it is you as well. But it will be the issue for months to come in the upcoming presidential campaign. And let me say this morning that in itself, war is unpleasant. War is horrible. Because war is dying. War is bloodshed. War is destruction. And it affects not only the enlisted people, it affects civilians as well. It always has. In itself, war is a horrible, horrible thing, just like the war going on right now over in Iraq and Afghanistan. It is a costly war, costly in both dollars and in lives. But folks, can I remind us this morning, it is not the first time that the United States of America has been involved in something that cost as much as this. You know, 1941. World War II was sprung on us by an attack on our U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. You ever had the opportunity to go there? It's incredible. Had that opportunity some years ago. I'm telling you something, friend. They have signs on the USS Arizona that was sunk on that day and has now been turned into the actual memorial. You take a little ferry boat out there to you begin on the shore with a film and some history, and then they ferry you out there and you walk, and they got signs, you know, in honor of those who were killed in this battle. Please remain quiet. But you didn't have to have a sign to tell folks to be quiet. The place spoke for itself. Almost 3,000 people died in that attack. About the same number that died on September the 11th, 2001. Truth of the matter is, most of us in this room do not remember the cost of freedom from World War II. I'm not talking about the monetary cost right now. I'm talking about the cost in casualties. World War II, the United States, in less than 4 years, lost 291,557 soldiers, Marines, sailors, and Air Force personnel. There were 113,842 non-theater deaths. That's people that died because of disease or by accident. Folks, that's 5,399 U.S. citizens. Did you hear that? 405,399 of our predecessors, our fellow citizens, died in the years of between 1941 and 1945. That's almost 81,080 per year. That's about 7,000 a month, about 3,500 deaths every 2 weeks. I am not minimizing the war in Iraq's casualties, the war in Afghanistan's casualties. And if you or someone you know's family has been touched by the Operation Freedom over there, I'm not minimizing that this morning. But let it sink in, folks. 3,500 U.S. citizens died every 2 weeks. We've suffered that many casualties in the 5.5 years of this war. History is being neglected. History is being rewritten. I'm not minimizing it, but I'm going to tell you something. Our country doesn't have the stomach. Our country doesn't have the intestinal fortitude we used to have. But I'm here. Do you hear me? If those 405,399 hadn't been willing, as Abraham Lincoln said, to give the full measure of devotion, we would not have enjoyed the freedom we've enjoyed these past 62 years. These kids went to college. These kids went to high school. Young families in our church have been able to purchase their first homes in the last 6 weeks. A young man in our church was able to purchase his first home in the last little while. You can still get a job. You can get in your car and drive across state lines without having to show your driver's license. You don't have to check in at the local authority station in town to get permission to leave. We're free. You can start a business. Put a garden on your property. Whatever you want to do, almost. I mean, we live in, not absolute, just no control, but we live in freedom. Freedom, freedom. Because of 405,300, that's not even counting the allied countries. That's not counting France and Britain. That's United States. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm here to tell you, friend, the terrorists are not done. I don't know about you. I'd rather us fight them over there than on our shores. You know, we've been out of war since what, 1918? America was pretty much in a pacifist, relaxed mode. We didn't want anything to do with Hitler. But we were thrust into that war. Thrust into it. And on September the 11th, 2001, 9/11, we were thrust into another war. We didn't take it to them. They brought it to us. Here's my point this morning. I just want to make this point. Freedom comes at a great sum or cost. Birthing a free nation or maintaining a free nation is costly. And on this Memorial Day weekend, I want us as a church to remember those who gave their lives in the battle for freedom. I don't want to see this current administration, this current Congress, throw away what those 405,399 died for 60-something years ago. Take a look around at our country. Yes, gas is high. Did you drive yesterday? I bet 98% of the folks in this auditorium went somewhere in their vehicle yesterday. Did you check out the gas stations yesterday? They were full. Airports are expecting record crowds this summer. We're a free people, folks. I understand we're not as free as we used to be. I understand that. I've lost two mighty fine pocket knives to airport security. I can laugh now. I didn't laugh then. Poor Brother Coral. You're going to have to pray for Brother Coral. I told him, Denny, you need to quit flying, brother. Because one of these issues, it's not going to be on the road with the Corals. It's going to be what's behind bars with Dennis Coral. Amen. He goes through the airport. They pull him aside to do that wand thing. And it takes a while with a guy that big. I mean, man, that guy's big. Amen. Huh? The Muslim man walked through right in front of him without even being stopped. Brother Curl, how come every time I come through this airport, y'all want me? It's a random check, sir. My name's not random, it's Dennis. He said, how about him? He walked through, and the Muslim turned around and said, yeah, you, Leroy. He's going to go. Oh, my gracious. Now, don't look so sanctimonious until you've been there. Until you've witnessed them making those 75 and 78-year-old gray-haired senior citizens, never hurt anybody in their life, come over here and get wanted. Don't look so sanctimonious at Brother Curl being a little upset. Amen. Your pastor's been a little upset on a couple of occasions too. Amen. I won't tell you about those though. Amen. We're free this morning. But that didn't come without great cost. Amen. I don't know if you got here in time to see the presentation before the service or not. If you did you see that field of white crosses from Arlington Cemetery? You ever been there? It'll be good for your family to do sometime. Maybe tomorrow. Take a ride up here to Elwood. Military cemetery there. And just drive through. Just drive through. And see those fields of white crosses. You know what they represent? The cost of freedom. The price of freedom. If you ever have the opportunity to go to the Tomb of the Unknown, Arlington, you should. Every one of those little white crosses in Arlington Cemetery and here at Elwood and other veteran cemeteries around the country, they represent a name. But how about the missing in action? Thousands. You know, on D-Day alone, it's hard to estimate the casualties from the invasion of Normandy. But everything I researched this week pretty much said that on D-Day alone, on one day, we suffered more casualties than we've lost in this war in Iraq. One day. I'm not promoting a political party this morning. I'm trying to promote American patriotism. Don't be sucked in. Don't be by these commentators. And all this liberal left-wing spin on everything. Nancy Pelosi and her crowd. Barack Obama and his no vote against funding our soldiers over there. And Hillary's no vote. Shame on them. Shame on them. I'm not promoting any party. I'm disgusted with both. I'm trying to promote patriotism, citizenship. We're freeborn, man. I've sent my kids to college. I've walked them down marriage aisles. I've seen them go on with their lives. And your kids have the same opportunity because somebody paid the sum of freedom. I have more to say, but let me move on to a second thought, and we'll be long. Let me remind you this morning that not only are we physically free from tyranny, but most in this room are spiritually free as well. Isn't that a blessing? As Americans, we were born into a free country, but even our American citizenship could not make us free spiritually. Amen. We were all born spiritual slaves, slaves to sin. It was in us. It wasn't the result of what was around us. It wasn't the result of our external circumstances or conditions. It was the result of our inner nature from birth. We knew how to lie from birth. We knew how to be selfish. From birth, we were going our own way, which the Bible says was away from God. And all humans fit into that category, into that condition. We're servants of sin. Not only were we servants of sin, we were sentenced to the wages of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God forever in the lake of fire, or what the Bible calls hell. Servants of sin, sentenced to the wages of sin. What a horrible condition in which to be born. Hey, that's worse than being born into a dictatorship. Then came Jesus. Enter Jesus into this world. He lives 33 and a half years. He goes to that cross that Brother Tom sang about a little while ago and that battle raging there on the cross that day. He suffers a horrible death, physically beat him with their hands and fists, pulled his beard out with their fingers, spit in his face, put a bag over his head and smacked him, took him to the scourging post with the cat of nine tails and ripped his body to shreds 39 times, put the crown of thorns on his head, laid his body on the cross, he did, took the nails in his hands and in his feet, a horrible death. On top of that, suffered our hell for us. What is hell? The Bible says it's fire. Luke 16, the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, and Father Abraham sent Lazarus that he could dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. What did Jesus say on the cross? I thirst. Hell is outer darkness. Middle of the day, 12 noon, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, as the sky turned as dark as midnight? What is hell? Separation from God. Why hast thou forsaken me? He pays the overwhelming sin debt in full for us. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. His lifeless body is placed in the tomb. 3 days and three nights later, the tomb was empty. Up from the grave, he arose. He came to the disciples in the upper room. Walked over to doubting Thomas and said, Thomas, do you doubt? Touch the wounds. We'll see the price of our spiritual freedom someday. We'll see those wounds. According to the Bible, they have not healed. We'll see the wounds in his hands. Possibly the wounds in his feet. Maybe the gaping wound in his side. And we'll be reminded about the cost of our spiritual freedom. Salvation is free to everyone who will call on Him, call on Jesus. Free to us, but it cost Him everything. Our salvation, our freedom from sin, our soul's liberation, our release from bondage in hell forever was purchased at great sum or great cost. The shed blood of Jesus. You and I can sing this morning, saved, saved, saved. My sins are all forgiven. Christ is mine. I'm on my way to heaven. And I love to sing that song. But we must remember, friend, we must call ourselves to remember the price that made that song possible. The sum of freedom is incredibly expensive. As American citizens this morning, Memorial Day weekend, I just want to say, hey, let's be patriots. Let's be patriots. The war is horrible. But let's have a little fortitude, folks. Let's have some guts. Our forefathers did. They had a stomach. Not only World War II, all these previous battles. Don't forget the price of freedom. And as a Christian, don't forget whose blood was shed for your soul's salvation. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. That same Jesus who died for us, died for you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening today. I'm going to ask a few questions, so please ask for your attention, even though our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'd like to ask for your attention just for a few moments. Who's here this morning? Brother Angel, I'm saved, and I know it. If I died right now, I would spend eternity in heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please, all over this room this morning, giving testimony of that salvation? God bless you. Thank you for putting your hand in the air. You may take it down. Maybe across the room this morning, one or more were seated, and you did not raise your hand. I thank you for your honesty. I would just like to speak to your ears for just a moment. Oh, my goodness, listen. Especially if you're an American citizen, you were born physically free. You don't want to die and spend eternity apart from God. Please. Jesus paid the sum of your spiritual freedom from sin and sin's wage. Don't you want to trust Him? What would keep you from it? Heads are bowed, no eyes are closed. Let me ask you this morning. Pastor Angel, I could not lift my hand just a moment ago. I do not know that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I am concerned about it. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Let me pray for you this morning. Just put your hand up in the air. God bless you. Is there another? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Front to back, side to side. Member or visitor in the balcony, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today? Nobody looking, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'd like to say to this one who lifted a hand this morning, if you look at me just for a minute, ma'am, God bless you. The most important thing in life is knowing that you're saved. If you've not been saved and you'd like to know more about it, we have ladies that can take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a minute, we're going to give the invitation. I hope you'll come. Let somebody show you how to be saved this morning. Who's here today would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I need to follow the Lord and believer's baptism. Would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody like that? Maybe you're here to follow the Lord this morning. You've come for that very purpose. All right, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Why don't you come right now? If you're here to be baptized, Scott and Linda are ready to help you. That's right. God bless you. Just come right down here to the front, and we'll get ready to baptize you this morning. If you're saved, you don't get baptized until you get saved. But if you're saved and you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to come. While we wait, would you come? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God bless you. God bless you. If you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you come right now? Let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you do that? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We could do that right now. If you'd come, we could show you how to be saved. Somebody else? If you're here this morning, you've been visiting our church, you know this is the place God would have you join. You visited with us about that. We'd love to have you come and join this morning, make that joining public if you desire to do that. American Christians, let's be patriots. God bless you, lady. Beth, God bless you. Amen. That's wonderful. God bless you. Somebody else? Pastor, I need to be saved. Anybody? Lower floor, balcony, anybody? I'm not sure that I'm saved. American citizens, the Christians, let's be patriots. You know, I get tired of hearing about the war like you do. It's horrible when innocent citizens are killed. 3,000 of them were killed on September the 11th. We cannot forget. And we must not forget those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. And while we're free, let's be thankful. Pastor Angel, while you were preaching this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about some of the things that were said. Pray for me, just that God spoke to my heart. Would you lift a hand this morning all over the room? Amen and amen. God bless you. My dear Father in heaven, I love you this morning. I thank you again for the great freedoms we enjoy, not only as American, Lord, American citizens, but Lord, thank you for our spiritual freedom from sin because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for these that have come today. Speak to every heart in this room, I pray, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, would you play us a song of invitation as they play? Would you come this morning? Would you come to be saved? Would you come to follow the Lord and believe His baptism? Would you come maybe to kneel and thank God as an American for your freedom, what it means to you and your family? Let's be good citizens. Let's be good patriots. Standing up. make our voices heard. Would you come this morning? We're taking your freedom for granted. We can drive a car, fly in a plane, buy property, build a house, go to college, get an education, graduate from high school, college. We're free. The sum of freedom is a great price.